Good morning, Troy. I'm Bill Cuthbertson. I'm the pastor of Discipleship and Outreach, and it's good to be in the 9 o'clock service. I don't normally worship with you folks. I'm just down the street at 415 where our Terra Kids and our Terra Youth Ministries happen each week, and it's good to see some different faces here this morning. So glad you're here, and I hope you were blessed. We had a great time of worship to get us ready for now, the time that we worship in God's Word. Well, before we get going, I wanted to just say good job, Terra Nova. Yesterday, we were part of a big event here in the city of Troy. Some of you heard about that, Serve as One. We were doing this. It's a coalition of churches here in the Capital District. We had our Troy Spring Refresh yesterday. We had about 50 people from here in Troy that volunteered yesterday, and we're working hard, even in the rain. I give you guys credit for that. And there's about 200 folks total from churches throughout this area. And we did, I think, some really good work in the Hillside North neighborhoods, which is just kind of north of Hoosick Street. There's some areas there that really could just use that practical love of God as we did some neighborhood cleanup, some painting, just some improvements there. I think God was honored, and the people that were there really appreciated that. So thank you so much for doing that. Well, it's Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day. We want to show our appreciation to our mothers. You know what I want to do here? I want to recognize my mom. Now, she's not here today. She's back in Michigan, but my mom will watch the sermons on YouTube here from Terra Nova and Troy, which is still something I'm getting used to, right? So happy Mother's Day, Mom. All right. Well, moms are important, right? We love them. I think mothers have a sacred role in our lives, whether they are the ones that gave birth to us or they're the ones that raised us as their own. One of my favorite passages in the Gospels comes in John chapter 19, when you see the Lord literally dying on that Roman cross. And as he's there, his mother is with him. In the passage, John tells a story that actually she was standing with John, one of Jesus' closest disciples. And as the Lord was suffering, he was thinking about the future of his mother. In those times, mothers depended on sons and children to care for them as they got old. As he was on that cross, he called out to his mother and he said, "Woman, behold your son," pointing to John, the apostle there. And he replied back to, or he spoke to John, he said, "Behold your mother." In the midst of that time of suffering, he showed his love for his mother. He wanted to care for her. And I think this is such a beautiful story because you see a mom by the side of her son in the midst of his suffering. That's the calling of a mother, isn't it? Moms suffer with us, whether that's the challenges of pregnancy. I know my wife went through that. Or the late nights of an infant in your as you're taking care of that child, all the needs there. Moms are with us for those bumps and bruises of childhood, through the growing pains of adolescence and early adulthood. Moms are there for us. They sit there and comfort us as we struggle. And I think it's no surprise to me that it's often our mothers, they're the ones that will point us to Jesus. They're the ones that oftentimes have those conversations about the good news of Jesus Christ. Many times, they're the ones that, as they're comforting us, they're helping us to understand the great love of our Savior. As they walk us through the pain and discouragement that comes in life, even in childhood, they can lead us to that one that gave his life for us to transform us from the inside out. Well, today I want us to talk about suffering. We want to look at this idea of suffering as it's something all of us experience in different ways and in different times. We're going to go back into the Acts of the Apostles today. We're continuing in the People of God series last week. Tori preached from Acts chapter 6 and 7 as we looked at the life and ministry of Stephen, this leader that God raised up who had this dynamic ministry. Things were going really well, and then they weren't. There was tragedy. We're going to look at that story again today and to see how God uses suffering to grow us and to shape us and to build his church as he extends the gospel to those who need to hear it. So we're going to look at, as last week, as we looked at Acts 6 and 7, the ministry of Stephen, we're going to talk about how things had gotten so rough for the church after they had been so good. Stephen's death brought shockwaves through a church. Through a church, as we saw in chapters 1 through 5, that was experiencing some tremendous blessings of God. The Spirit of God was given as the Lord had promised, and the ministry of the Spirit was new and exciting as God's people were seeing stuff like miracles and signs, and people's lives were being changed, and thousands of people were being baptized and as they committed their life to Christ. As we saw at the end of chapter 7, Stephen is dead, and a young Pharisee named Saul is standing there giving his approval to his murder at the hands of that mob. And this guy named Saul, who we're going to see a whole lot more in the book of Acts, begins to go from house to house and to round up these Jewish believers who would follow this crucified Messiah. And I can't help but think they must have been struggling with that. Like, how can this happen? Things are going so well. Why are we suffering like this? So I just want us to turn in our Bibles to the end of Acts chapter 7, if you're not there yet. We're going to read a little bit of the end here that we looked at last week, but it kind of sets up where we're going to be in Acts chapter 8 this morning. So if you'll turn to Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. So this is at the end of Stephen's preaching. He had been very confrontational in his message there as these religious leaders were opposing him, and he's speaking to them some really tough things, and they didn't care for that. And it says in verse 54, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and as they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" It's a powerful statement. Verse 57, "But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and they stoned him." It's an awful, awful way to die. And it says that the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were doing this, they took their coats off, laid them at the feet of Saul as he supervised this. And then verse 59, as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And in verse 1 of chapter 8, "And Saul approved of his execution." And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. In verse 4, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of those who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city." If you'll bow with me, I'm going to open up our time in the Word with prayer this morning. Our Father, we thank you for this story. As we're going to look at it, Lord, we know that you gave this for a reason. The details in this story are more than just a Bible lesson for us to know how things worked out back in that day. But Lord, these are theological lessons on which we can stand, Lord. Pray you'd help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see today. Lord, ground us in these truths. In your name, Jesus, we pray, who suffered for us. Amen. All right, well, We're going to look at the beginning of chapter 8 this week. And in a sense, this is kind of a part two to where we were last Sunday as we looked at the life of Stephen, the ministry of Stephen. And here's kind of our roadmap where we're going today. I want to talk first about the significance of the story. Again, I think there's a tendency to work through the history here in Acts and just kind of see it from that perspective. Okay, this is what happened, and this is what happened, and this is what happened. And miss the significance, the idea that this story that we looked at last week and we're going to continue to look at today, the second half of it, it intersects our life. The message in the story is a message for us. We're going to look at that this morning. And I want us to walk away with some practical lessons, some things we can take with us. We're going to look at this idea that we need to appreciate God's blessings. Appreciate God's blessings in our life. Something to that is God blessed his people greatly there in those first few chapters, whether it was a matter of months or years, as the Lord was growing their faith. He was doing amazing things. The Lord was preparing them for this time. So we got to appreciate God's blessing in our lives because we need to be able to press into the Lord, press on during those hard times because God is at work. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at this idea of pressing in, trusting in him. And thirdly, I think there's a lesson for us to believe that the Lord brings good through our suffering. And that is, if you think of it, it's kind of a radical thing. That the Lord can bring good through suffering. Suffering that doesn't always even make sense. God can bring good through it. So we're going to go there this morning. So the significance of the story, as we looked at last week, Acts 6 and 7 was a turning point. The turning point in the story. After this time of blessing and great growth, God's people were enjoying all the wonderful things about being part of the body of Christ. They were living in the glow of the resurrection there as the Lord had defeated sin and death. Things were going so well. But then the Lord had different plans. The Lord had different plans. Things changed drastically for God's people. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you've been in situations like that where things are going really well and suddenly they're not. You're facing something that's just amazingly difficult. I think all of us have been there in one degree or another. Yet, even as things changed there at the end of chapter 7, the persecution became real for the Christians living there in Jerusalem. God's love for them would not change. God's love for them would not change. Instead of enjoying those blessings of worshiping together, those early Christians would be forced to leave their homes, leave their families behind and be on the run. I can't even imagine what that's like. I think, again, it's easy to read this chapter as we're going through Acts and just kind of see it as, oh, yeah, that happened. It happened to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. God had different plans. They would share in the suffering of Christ as they followed the Lord's commands to go and make disciples. To go and make disciples. Beginning there of Acts chapter 8, we see that God's plans were being worked out. God's plans were being worked out. Through their suffering would come growth. I think this is where it gets practical for us. Luke takes us through these stories of the early church and the growth of the gospel as he's trying to help us understand that God works through us to build his church, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We're not just coming here on a Sunday morning just for the benefit that we get in being part of this church. I think there's a lot in there. I appreciate my church family. I appreciate the time of worship and encouragement that I get when I come here and I gather with you folks as we sing, as we hear God's word preached, the instructions my children get down the street at Terry Youth. Those are all good things, but it's bigger than that for us. We're part of what God is doing in this community. God is working through us to build his church, and we can't lose sight of that. God's wisdom. He disrupted the the wonderful situation they had in Jerusalem, because he had other plans for them. Excuse me. So Luke here points us, in this story as we set it up here, he points us to a theology of suffering. There's a theology of suffering in this story. A theology of suffering that we see in the Old Testament, in different places. We certainly are going to see it in the latter books of the New Testament as writers like the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter show us that God works through suffering. He works through suffering. God works through suffering in his goodness and his wisdom. There is a purpose in our suffering. Regardless of how big or how small that particular suffering, that particular hardship or struggle might be, God uses it for our good and for his glory. Now, we all know suffering in one degree or another. We feel the effects of that every day, big and small. We live in a sinful, broken world. It's not hard to see that. You can get discouraging as you read the news. Yet I think it's sometimes it's for those of us that are following Christ, those of us that are trying to live our lives in obedience to him and honor God and love our neighbor and make a difference here in where God has placed us, it can be hard sometimes to understand God's plans. We're trying to serve God and live our lives the right way, and yet God brings suffering. It makes it really hard. Maybe some of you are there this morning. We know that this world's full of suffering, but why are we facing so much? We're trying to live for God and love our neighbor. Things should not go that way, right? You ever feel that? I know I do. You know, it's not that I expect God to fix everything either. I think, yeah, there's those moments that we can complain and kind of be there, but I think I'm realistic. I don't expect God to make sure my life is just perfect and easy. But there are times that God allows real hardships into our lives, and it just doesn't make sense. And maybe you can relate this morning. Maybe you can relate this morning. Today, the story, as we look at the end of chapter 7, the beginning of chapter 8 today, the story reminds us that stuff happens for a purpose. And I know that might be a cliche, but as the theology upon which we can live our lives. In his wisdom, God ordains both blessings and hardships to shape us and to work out his plans both for our lives and for what he wants to do through us in our world. The big idea this morning I hope you take away from Acts chapter 8 is that we can trust the Lord in our suffering. We can trust in him because God is good and he's going to work out his good plans for his church, for us. As I said, there's a lot of significance here for this in this story. It intersects with our lives in very practical ways. Well, let's take a look at some of the lessons I think we can draw from this story here. Let's take a look at this. Well, first of all, I think one of the things I see as I look at this is that we need to appreciate God's blessings in our life. We need to appreciate God's blessings in our life. And that really comes out of what we see in those first five chapters. The Lord gave his people a time of extended blessing. Amazing things were happening there. They experienced growth. I mean, I love reading those early chapters. It's so encouraging. Things are going so well. People are putting their faith in Christ. Christians are coming together. They're helping to address poverty. The church is becoming a powerful movement as they love one another, as they share the good news. So I think that an important message in these first chapters of Acts is that God brings seasons of blessings and growth. And we should enjoy those times. We should respond to them with the right attitudes. So just some practical things here. I think one of the things I'm reminded of as I look at these stories is that we need to recognize God's grace in our life. Recognize God's grace. We have more blessings than we realize, don't we? It's easy to complain. when things aren't going so right. It's easy for me to complain when my Wi-Fi is not working so great in the laundry room, so I can't watch that Netflix movie where I'm trying to iron, right? Wow. To think my ancestors used to just walk down to the closest creek and just pound their clothes against rocks or something. But I'm complaining because the internet's a little slow. Recognize God's grace in your life. That's where it starts. And respond to God's blessings in your life with humility and gratitude. Let's think on that one for a little bit. To resist the temptation to get so focused on the negatives in our lives, we need to recognize God's blessings. The blessings that it gives, and watch to see how our attitude will change. All right, now this doesn't mean that we deny the hard stuff we're going through, okay? I think sometimes there's this idea within the church that we got to come here on Sunday and act like everything's good. We got it all together. We can't complain. There's a place and a time to cry out to God. I think we've said this before. Minimizing suffering in your life is not healthy. It's not biblical either. We see it throughout the Bible, the writers of the Psalms, I mean, there's a good number of Psalms that were basically the writers crying out to God like, Lord, this is hard. Why are you letting this happen? And yet they can, those Psalms give praise to God for his hand in our lives. We can look to the writings of guys like the Apostle Paul. Spoiler alert, we just talked about him earlier. He was that guy that was there giving approval to the death of Stephen. God will go on to transform his life, and he's a guy that could write later in life as he's sitting in a Roman jail cell that life is hard, but God is in it. We need to recognize the situations that we're going through. We need to acknowledge those things. But then we need to look beyond the struggles, the hard stuff, with a faith that God is going to work through them. Again, I'm not talking about some false optimism where you act like everything's okay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having the faith to trust that God's plans are bigger than my problems. God's plans are bigger than my problems. And sometimes that's a big step of faith that I need to take. As we recognize the grace of God, that he's working out his plans for us, our heart response is humility. Be humbled by that. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Like you think all the ways you're complaining and throughout the midst of whatever God's taking you through, and then you begin to see his hand in it. You begin to see how he is at work. His provisions are good, and it's humbling. God is wiser than us. He's been working on this problem a lot longer than we realized we had it. Out of humility comes gratitude. And folks, gratitude in the midst of suffering is so valuable. Gratitude to God for all his grace gives us an unexpected peace and a freedom in the midst of that really hard stuff. So recognize God's grace in your life. Respond to his blessings in your life with humility and gratitude. Thirdly, I want to point out this challenge here is to make the most of the blessing that God gives you. Make the most of those blessings that he has given you to extend the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, when we talk about how God is at work to work out his plans for us, it's not just this idea of just what's in it for each of us. He's working out his plans for us as we are part of his plan to share the gospel in our community, in our circles of influence. So we want to make sure that we are making the most of the blessings God has given us. How do we do that? We want to live a gospel-aligned life, loving God, loving others. Make sure our walk lines up with our talk. We can't just be people who come here and worship God on Sunday, but then are wandering through life with hopelessness on Monday. Live a gospel-aligned life. We love God, we love others, we trust in him. Invest in your family. Invest in your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, those people that God has put in your life for the gospel. And we talk about that here at Terra Nova. Again, we don't want to just be people that come and do church on Sundays and then it's in a separate compartment for the rest of the week. Invest in your families, in your friends, your coworkers, those people around you. Take those opportunities to share the gospel. Live your faith and share your faith. Well, I want to move on to I think the second lesson in the story. So as we think of those first five chapters of Acts is reminding us how we need to recognize God's grace in our life and appreciate what he's done and how that prepares us for the things that may come, the form of challenges and trials. We want to know that we want to think about this idea that we need to press on through the hard times because God is at work. Press on through the hard times. As we saw last week, Acts 6 and 7, things got really difficult. Stephen's ministry would end abruptly and life would change drastically. And I think it's worth knowing that, again, this is not an accident. This is not an accident that caught the Lord by surprise. So we get there to the end of chapter 7, as people are running for their lives, fleeing from persecution. Lord didn't forget his people. He didn't forget them. You know, we can fall into that, can't we, sometimes, when we're going through hard stuff. We can begin to think that. Where's the Lord? Has he forgotten me? Has he stopped caring for me? Things didn't get bad for the people of God because the Lord stopped caring for them. God had a plan. And they were not suffering because they had angered the Lord. How many of us have been there? I must have just really disappointed God because now I'm really suffering. It's not why they were suffering. Now, sometimes we do go through suffering because of the bad choices we make. All right, there's this thing called discipline. Like a good parent, the Lord will discipline us at times when we need that. You know, and oftentimes the discipline can be the consequences for our choices. But don't think just because you're going through something really difficult right now, it must be because God's mad at me. This passage shows that God has bigger plans. The hardships and suffering that would come to God's people were part of his plan to grow their faith and expand the gospel. This pivot from the time of blessing to a time of suffering reminds us that we need to press on through difficult circumstances, through difficult situations. And I think that can be hard to do because I think the tendency when God brings hardship and discouragement to our lives is to focus on the suffering. To focus on that suffering and we begin to lose sight of the bigger picture. And I think that's the nature of pain, isn't it? Whether it's physical or emotional. Pain is intense. Pain becomes all-consuming oftentimes. It can be the biggest thing in our life, and it can cause us to struggle to see the larger picture, particularly the larger picture of what God is doing. Pain demands our attention now. So the natural response to pain is to want it to stop or to want to run from it. And when we're hurting, it's hard to be patient. It's hard to wait. We don't like suffering. However, we're reminded here in Acts chapter 8 that God's plans include suffering. And that God works through suffering. And that can be a hard pill to swallow at times. That's a bitter one as it goes down. That God's plans include suffering. But he works through suffering. We can walk by faith in those tough times by trusting that God is good, by believing that he has good plans for us, just like he had good plans for the church there in Acts. good plans, and his love and his wisdom, he will work out those plans through suffering. So it leads us to that third application. We need to believe that the Lord brings good through our suffering. That is an act of faith at times, folks. To believe that there's good in something that at times doesn't seem to have a purpose, and at least not in our perspective. You know, if you're reading through the book of Acts for the first time, you might come to this section here and think, wow, things got bad fast. Things got turned upside down for God's people. But in the midst of that, God was there. I want to have us look again at verses 1 through 8. Let me read that again. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose in that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The commentators think they stayed behind because they had to continue to give leadership. Probably had to hide out. Verse 2, devout men buried Stephen and made a great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house, and he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Things got turned upside down, but God was in it. Right there in verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. You know, as I was studying this week, my response was, wow. I'm living for God, I'm honoring God, and all of a sudden things are turned upside down and I'm running from my life, leaving my house and belongings behind, doing the best I can to get by. I don't know if my attitude would have been the same, but here's the people of God going wherever they could, preaching the word. It talks about how Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And so there was much joy in his city. I hope you see the contrast there. Chapter 8, those first four verses, you see their world turned upside down, and yet you see God's people responding in faith, trusting in God that he is going to work out his plans. Can you see the hand of God in your difficult situation right now? Can you see the hand of God? I think those folks in that day were willing to do that. They were willing to trust God. The Lord is able to use them to extend the gospel from Jerusalem and Judea into Samaria, and then as we continue through Acts, into the uttermost parts of the earth, like the Lord had told them in Acts chapter 1. God used them to extend the gospel. Believe that the Lord will bring good to the difficult situation that you are dealing with in your life. God works through suffering. Again, this can be hard to accept. We know that life is hard and everyone suffers, but what about you? What about me? This is really hard. Lord, how can you be putting me through this right now? Especially as I'm trying to live my life for you, Lord. I'm trying to care for my family. I'm trying to be a light to my community. Why would you do this, Lord? This is making it so hard. Believe that you can find grace in suffering as you see your hardships, whether they're internal struggles going on, or they're external situations you're dealing with. See them in the context of God's bigger plans. Plans that we often can't see and often don't understand. I think that's why I think this passage is really such a helpful, applicable story for us today, because Luke is giving us really, he's pointing us toward a biblical understanding of suffering. Suffering's common to all of us. We all know it. We all feel it. We live in the shadow of Genesis 3. Every one of us feels the effects of sin. But at the center of our suffering. At the center of God's redemptive plan is the suffering of Christ. Remember that. Even though suffering is common to all of us, at the center of that is the suffering of Christ. And just as the Lord suffered to secure our redemption, so God uses our suffering to work out his redemptive plan in our lives and in this world as we share the good news, as we make disciples. God uses suffering to build our faith, to shape our character, to help us realize the richness of our Savior's love. You know what? That's probably one of God's purposes in suffering that we least appreciate. This idea that the Lord uses suffering to help us realize the richness of our Savior's love. Suffering humbles us. Maybe you've been there. It humbles us. We feel helpless at times and situations. But don't let those times where you're feeling helpless lead to you feeling hopeless. Suffering should send us to the cross. We can cling to the one who suffered for us. Christ is our hope. Christ is our hope. In those times, we can't see any purpose in what we're going through or what someone in our life is going through. When our suffering can seem meaningless, we're confused, we're discouraged, we can recognize the grace that comes when we have no place to turn but to the arms of our Savior. And those of you who've been to that place, you know what I'm talking about. You have no place else to turn but to the arms of our Savior. You realize Jesus is better. As much as I may want the Lord to fix what I'm going through, he reminds me that he's better. And that's hard sometimes. Well, folks, this has been a challenging sermon for me to prepare this week, and I definitely could see God's hand in it as I was asked to preach this week. Few months ago, but still, when I was preaching for the Sunday, as I was preparing this week and working through this passage, I realized it was something that I needed to wrestle with. I know that at times I can't understand suffering and I can't see God's purpose in it, and it's hard. And I needed to hear this message here this morning. And let me just give you a little insight into what's kind of why it was so significant. This last Tuesday was the third anniversary of our son James' traumatic illness. And many of you know his story as he was 3.5 years old when I found him on the floor. He's having seizures, and we ambulance ride to Albany Med. And later that afternoon, he wouldn't wake up, and he was in intensive care, and we knew something was really wrong, and we found out later that day that his brain was swelling, and he was going to die. Eventually, we've learned it was a combination of a condition he had and a virus that was pretty aggressive. And anyway, we thought a lot about that this week. In those times, if you don't know our story, you can check out our blog. Pretty scary. James pulled through, but he's not the same. He's not the same anymore. We had a bright, active boy who loved to run and laugh and do puzzles, and all that has changed. Now he's learned to walk. Some of you have seen him, but he's cognitively impaired. He's visually impaired. He doesn't communicate. He wears diapers. And I'm not sharing that today because I want you to feel sorry for us. That's not it. We love James. He brings so much joy to our family. But it's hard to see your child struggle. If you're a parent, you know that. I share this story because that's where we are right now, my wife and I. James has changed our life forever. We continue, my wife and I and our kids, to adapt to the situation that God has placed us into. We love James, but it is hard. If you have a child with special needs, you know what I'm talking about. And if I can be honest, it's not a situation that I always gladly accept with a good attitude and a thankful heart. Some days I can do more complaining than I care to admit. And sometimes it's just those hard, nagging questions. What is the purpose in all this? Why did God work out these plans for James? Why did he work out these plans for our family? I think that's why Acts chapter 8 has been so relevant for us this week, for me personally, as I've been preparing. If you can relate to maybe some situation you're going through, whatever struggles or challenges the Lord's put in your life, if you've been there, we're just wrestling with, Lord, why? Why would you have things work out this way? I want you to be encouraged this morning. And encouraged by this story that we looked at in Acts chapter 8, because it's important. As God used Luke to write this history of the church to prepare future generations like us to know, what does it mean to be the body of Christ? What's it mean to be the church, living out our faith in our world today? Here's where Luke takes us early on. God has good plans for us. And those good plans often involve suffering. Suffering to shape us and to grow us. You can trust in the Lord through suffering because God is good and has good plans for you. And sometimes you have to hold on to that. You can't see the purpose. You can't understand God's plan. You can trust that he's good and he's wise. Well, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. We want to celebrate the promise that we have in Christ. As the band comes forward, we're going to remember the suffering of our Savior, whose body was broken, whose blood was shed. We're going to participate in communion today to be reminded that God has redeemed us from sin through his suffering to make us his people. The Lord began this good work in us at the cross when he suffered for us, and he will continue to work out his plans for us until that day that we are able to celebrate this meal together with him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you love us and you are always working out your plans for us. And that part of our faithful journey is to suffer and to wait on you and to trust in you to work out your plans. So we want to give you glory. We want to pray for that grace as we journey. Lord, may we suffer well. Lord, may we see you bring your plan through us. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.